This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The family of the suspected Boulder firebomber has been detained and is expected to be deported. Mohammed Salman is from Egypt and has a wife and five children. He told police he had been plotting the attack for more than a year. The 50% Trump tariffs on steel and aluminum products being imported into the U.S. took effect at midnight. Shock and grief in Washington State. As of going on 20 years, the police there say they don't think they've had a situation that's prompted tears to come up among police. They felt for the family, says Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison. He's talking about the three sisters, ages 5, 8, and 9, who were found dead near their father's vehicle at a campsite. They had been on a scheduled visitation with him. Iran's supreme leader says that he is criticizing an initial proposal from the United States to negotiations over Tehran's rapidly advancing nuclear program. Ayatollah Al-Khamenei is not rejecting it outright, however. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Nearly two dozen theater hopefuls showed up to sing a song and read for the roles for the Community Players production of Little Shop of Horrors. Little Shop of Horrors is a horror comedy rock musical about a floor shop worker who raises a plant that eats human flesh and blood. The show was made into a 1986 movie that starred Rick Moranis and Steve Martin and was directed by Frank Oz. After 3 days of tryouts and another day of callbacks, director Cameron Cormacan made his choices. The cast will include Dave Van Halgren as Seymour, Faith Morga as Audrey, Glenn Dunn as Mr. Mushnick, Matt Rowe as Oren Scavello, Maggie Keller as Ronette, Kate Stoda as Crystal, Cassidy Mancilla-Young as Chiffon, and Michael Ames as the voice of Plant Audrey II. Additional roles will be filled by Chloe Hine, Ryan Whitman, Leo Murr, and Elise Staffslin. There are still plenty of opportunities backstage for anyone who would like to get involved. People who can do simple carpentry to help build the set, along with painters, prop makers, or stagehands are needed. Everyone is welcome and anyone can get involved. For questions or more information, email communityplayers@gmail.com or call the show's director, Cameron Cormacan, at 608-844-1245. Performances of The Little Shop of Horrors are scheduled for July 25th, 26th, 27th, and August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Richland Center High School Auditorium. Tickets priced at $15 for adults, $10 for children under 18, and $50 for a family package of two adults and any number of children will be available at the door. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
It's the Brewers and the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Reds wrapping up their three-game series today. Last night, Cincinnati winning 4-2, ending the Brewers' eight-game winning streak. Pat Murphy said the crew needed more than just a couple of hits from Christian Yelich and a solo home run shot by Sal Frelick.
Everybody's got to contribute, and we had some holes in there tonight. We only mustered up five hits or whatever we did, and that's not enough, especially when you only drew two walks, I think. You know, you got to do something else to create offense. Credit to their pitching staff, to Hunter Green and their bullpen, and great play by Friedel at the end of the game to change the game. You play to the last pitch, and you know he made the play.
NFL OTAs, the Packers' Kenny Clark revealing he had surgery in January after playing all last season with a broken toe.
I heard it in the Brazil game.
What was the surgery? Did you have a screw put in?
Nah, I had like a bunion, bone spurs. Yeah.
That's defensive end Kenny Clark with sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Canadian wildfire smoke is going to hang around again this morning. We may even catch a few sprinkles this morning, but the smoke should get out of here this afternoon. Sky will clear out, high in the mid to upper 70s today. Tonight, clear, low 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Cynthia Eifert, retired career Foreign Service officer. We talk about the higher obligations of public servants and why what Trump is doing falls so far short.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, June 4th, 2025. Across the Civic Media Radio Network, Parker Olson standing by in Madison as well. Coming up in this hour, we will talk a bit about the gig economy and making sure that it works for everybody, not just for employers who might be looking to shirk their responsibilities to the people who do the work for them by referring to them as independent contractors. There's a bill that was considered in the legislature yesterday by a committee, and we'll look at whether it's something that can help the situation with access to benefits or if it simply perpetuates the ongoing unfairness for some workers in this system. That's coming up. Brittany Merlo is out today. I can tell you that it's still smoky, still hazy around here, a little foggy, much more sunshine than we've had over the past few days here, but still humid. We're going to get to the mid to upper 70s in parts of Wisconsin today. A couple of nice days ahead before another chance of showers and thunderstorms moves in to help kick off the start of the weekend, but not rain for the whole weekend, so we should be okay there. Time to do our Scani Summer Text to Win contest. You should be familiar with this by now. You should have that Civic Media app downloaded. And if you don't, head over to your Apple Store, your Google Store, wherever you get your apps. Get the Civic Media app. On the app, you can call up any Civic Media station and listen to it. Unless there's some kind of licensed thing, like you can't listen to Packers games, you know, over the app. But so many other things on our music stations and on our news and talk stations. Pick a station, listen, find something new and fun, and we're glad some of you have found us through the Civic Media app. And on these Text to Win contests, when you call up any station, there's a button you can use to call that show, that station. There's a button to leave a voice note, and there's a button to send a text. And that's what we want you to use, is hit that text button, and then text in the hour's keyword, spelled correctly, and just the word, nothing else. And that is your entry into our contest. Each hour, four times a day at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m., there will be different keywords for you to text in, and you can win that hour's prize. But then every entry puts you in the drawing for one of the grand prizes, a lovely stay in the Wisconsin Dells area or in Door County, and a little gas money to get you there. Head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. That said, let's get to this hour's keyword. Today's keyword for the 7 a.m. hour only for a pair of Milwaukee Brewers tickets is grill. Grill, G-R-I-L-L. Grill. text that using the Civic Media app to us. You'll be entered for that pair of Brewers tickets for this hour, and you'll be entered for the grand prize drawings at the end of the contest as well. Now, there's a limit. You've got only till the end of this hour to text the keyword, and then we clear the slates and we get set for your next chance to win at 11 a.m. So, again, you have about 50 minutes, a little less than that, to get on the phone, get that app downloaded, and text GRILL, G-R-I-L-L, as part of the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. All right, well, with Brittany out, let me see if I can bring up what Rob is sharing with us from Tigerton. Good morning from Tigerton, he writes. It's partly sunny and 55 degrees. We got an inch and a quarter of rain. Many farmers call it a million-dollar rain. It was really dry. It's been 3 weeks since the last good soaking. Rob says, I got 4 yards mowed yesterday morning before the rain and the storms came in around 2 o'clock in the Tigerton area. Grass will really be growing after this rain. And he says, today is birthday eve for me. So, Rob, I hope you're going to be treating yourself really good with a cake or something along those lines. We had to make a birthday call last evening to my in-laws. Sherry's parents yesterday turned 80 and 85. And, of course, are long since retired from their work on the dairy farm there. We were talking with Hans Breitenmoser yesterday about the changes in dairy farming over the years. This being June Dairy Month, there are a lot of dairy farm tours that are out there, a lot of dairy farm breakfasts. And all of these automated, almost robotic milking parlors now that are more efficient, cleaner. Such a different time from when Sherry was growing up. Sherry was the oldest of six. And the kids would get up at 5 a.m. and they would, you know, milk 72 cows, clean the barn and everything, and then get on the school bus. And when they got off the school bus, they'd do their homework and then they'd milk 72 cows again, you know, in the stanchions. And if the power went out, which didn't happen often, but if the power went out, you know, it was a stool and a bucket. And it's a lot different now in just these few years. And so, again, happy birthday to Billy and Betty. And thanks for all you've done, both as dairy farmers and as wonderful parents and in-laws. Appreciate it so very much. And again, for the rest of you, for June Dairy Month, get out to one of these farm visits. Get out to a farm, a dairy breakfast if you can. Tony on YouTube, have you heard the song Blame Canada? That's what I think when I see all this smoke. Yes, although I don't know that we can play it on the radio, but yes, I understand the song Blame Canada. And I understand the sentiment, but I also know there are plenty of folks in Canada that wish it weren't happening to them either. I mean, we talk about the Northwoods here. They have serious Northwoods up there. It goes for a long, long ways before you hit the tundra. And unfortunately, so much of it is, again, on fire. Some would say the climate seems to be changing or something, that you get these longer dry spells that lead to bigger fires. We'll save that for another time. Maybe we'll talk about that with Melissa Baldoff in our next hour when we do our weekly climate check. A reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Three different newsletters now. If you heard me talking to Christina Laurie yesterday, we had been talking about her new newsletter about some of the good feature stories behind Wisconsin sports, and it had been a monthly newsletter. So well received, it's now becoming a weekly sports newsletter. So she'll have that on Saturdays. I'll have my weekly newsletter on Sundays with the creative name Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all about the week in Wisconsin politics. And, of course, Christina puts together our Monday through Friday newsletter as well, and you can sign up for all those at our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. I want to talk just a little bit about the gig economy, and it's because of some work that was done in a committee of the State Assembly yesterday. I'm sorry, State Senate yesterday. The Senate committee took up a bill that would create portable benefit accounts for contract employees of companies like DoorDash and Uber, other couriers, drivers, and people who make up that particular part of the gig economy. Now, the gig economy is being sold to us as freedom and flexibility. And that is true to a degree, but along with that freedom and flexibility should come some responsibility. And that's where I have my concern. So I want to start by reading a bit from the folks at WisPolitics who put this together, saying that the committee yesterday split along party lines over legislation that would create these portable benefit accounts. Under the bill, workers could access benefits such as retirement accounts and insurance. It would allow the companies to contribute up to 4% of a driver's quarterly earnings, and the contract employee could also put money into the account. The bill also makes clear, however, that contract workers are not employees of the delivery network companies for the purposes of workers' compensation insurance, minimum wage laws, and unemployment insurance. The bill is sponsored by Franklin Republican Senator Julian Bradley, who was also the committee chair, and he said that thousands of people in the state have chosen to be contract employees, and they want access to these benefits. He says drivers for these industries played important roles during the pandemic. We need these drivers, he said. We depend on them, and now we're trying to help the people who helped us during a difficult time. Democratic State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe of Cottage Grove said in so many words, and this is me paraphrasing, not her, said something along the lines of, oh, please. Saying, we don't need a bill that states that companies can provide benefits to workers if they want, or that they can provide insurance if they want. They can do that already without putting it into law. But that does get to the tricky part of the situation here, and that would be, who is a contract worker and who is an employee? Because if you're a contract worker, if you're a contractor, independent, freelancer, whatever you want to call it, you're doing work for a company, but you're not, for example, covered under that company's policy if there's an accident, for example. You're using your own vehicle because you don't get a company car or a company truck. You might have bought your own liability insurance. You might not. There's all these other costs that a lot of folks don't think about when they're thinking only of the, quote, freedom and flexibility and putting cash in their pockets free and clear and other things like that. There's a whole reason why we have employment law. Employment law isn't designed to stick it to employers, you know, whatever big business groups will tell you. It is designed to guard against predatory employers. And our history, not just Wisconsin history, not just American history, but human history shows us that, sadly, there are bosses who would treat their workers as chattel if they could. You get hurt, you get sick, you got somebody sick in the family, you're making poverty wages after all the employer's deductions. Well, all of that must have been your fault, you know, buyer beware, as opposed to an employer who takes care of the people who take care of them. Because there are no earnings. There is no profit margin without the workers who actually get things done. There's a lot to be said for management. There's a lot to be said for stockholders. But if you rely on labor to get something done, then those laborers deserve a fair shake. And this isn't to say there isn't a place for independent contractors or contract employees. But one thing I know, dating back to my time in the Senate 15 years ago and long before that, it's been clear that for a long time, our country suffers from worker classification abuse as a way to avoid paying fair wages, extending benefits, ensuring worker safety, and much more. Which takes us back to this particular bill, where I do understand the sentiment behind it, that if there is a way for these so-called gig employees to finally have access to retirement accounts, insurance, and other benefits, that sounds like it would be a positive thing. But I also know from experience, a lot of young gig workers, the last thing they're thinking about is their retirement. And they're also thinking they're young and bulletproof and they don't need health insurance. They don't need all these other benefits. They just want freedom, flexibility, and cash in their pockets. Which brings us back to employment law. Maybe the employee isn't thinking about the need for these things, but we know how much they can cost when things go wrong or when employers abuse their workers. And yes, they are workers. Even if they're contractors, if they're doing work for you, they're a worker and they deserve a certain level of treatment, whether they appreciate it or not. Live from the heart of America's up north on Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Attention Badger fans, memories are made at Camp Randall, so bring your group and be part of the action this fall. Whether you're planning your team outing or just looking to get together with your crew, Badger football group experiences are your ticket to unforgettable moments and new traditions. Take advantage of discounts and exclusive game day experiences when you lock in your group tickets today. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Welcome back to the Morning Show studio on WRCO Radio. We are in the studio with some Ithaca FFA students, and we also have their advisor, Melissa Sprecher, in to join us. And again, thanks for inviting Carter and, you know, having Riverdale represented here today. That's awesome. So when you talk about some of the things that you do as a group, you do, it's kind of a family, whether you're, what school you're in, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We try to do a lot of stuff together with the different chapters and help out where we can. Of course, every time we go to an event, you're, mingling and, talking about what's going on. And, like when you go to the county fairs and some different things like that, you're obviously, those kids see each other. And then outside of FFA, even in sports, we'll see these kids at different events. So yeah, it's great to, lift each other up and, promote each other's chapters and stuff. It's about getting more, getting more kids involved in FFA, and just trying to, get the word out, and whether they're in, the Riverdale chapter, River Valley, Richland Center, Ithaca, whichever school they're in, it's just to, get out all the awesome things that FFA does and just kind of help build that next generation of leaders, because that's super important that we have these kids equipped to go out into the world and to be leaders, because one day, they're going to be the adults of the world. And so we want to get them trained in the right direction.
The thing of it is, it seems like there are a lot more opportunities than when I was in school. I mean, you have some of the same things and contests and things like that, but it's really expanded, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So it always amazes me when I start teaching the history of FFA to my students. I usually start in seventh grade with them. And I talk about how it used to be, there was a black FFA chapter, and then there was the national FFA. And so because of at that time, they couldn't have them together because with the southern states, you know, there was they didn't allow it. And so it was just interesting how amazed these kids are. They're like, what? Like, that's that, you know, they came together and became one chapter. Okay, well, that's awesome. And then I'm like, yeah. And then girls weren't allowed to be in FFA till 1969. And then their jaws, they're like, well, why couldn't they? And I'm like, well, at the time when this all started, girls did home ec and boys did tech ed or agriculture because the goal was to train them to go out to have jobs in those fields and for to train girls basically to be good housewives. And it's just such a foreign concept because things have changed so much. And one of the things that has changed is it used to be called Future Farmers of America. And we recognized that there's more to agriculture than just farming. And so we are now the National FFA organization, and we understand that there's so many parts. And so we really try to include all those pieces of parts that are part of agriculture, whether it is through business, whether it is through marketing, whether it is through actually, you know, doing the livestock part of it, through the grain part, whatever part it is that touches that agriculture, we want to make sure that we're able to be part, you know, have those kids be part of that, expose them to that. I always love exposing kids to different career paths they can go down that isn't specifically like you're working in the field or you're working with animals or you're working at the local mill. There's so many other pieces and parts, like, you know, working for a company where you're in the lab developing the next generation of seed. Some of those people never go out into the field. That's their job. They're doing the lab part of it. And so there's lots of opportunities out there. And so, yeah, we, FFA, every time that they add something new, it's to kind of either showcase or encourage kids to go into those different fields. And we have contests now, like you said, like there's, the ag sales, there's marketing contests, there are lots of opportunities out there. And the speaking contests are always really great. I always like to push the kids to go do those and to kind of go outside their comfort zone as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, I did that back in the day. Yeah. So when you look at it, too, if you look back at a yearbook and you go back 50 years, mm-hmm. you're lucky to see maybe one, two or three young women mm-hmm. in the picture, you know, and now it's kind of flipped. Sometimes you see more women than the guys, right?
Yeah, it is interesting because, like I said, it was 1969 when they allowed women to be part of FFA. But now when you look at those leadership positions, there's a lot of leadership teams that are, you know, strong, you know, heavy on the side of more females than males. And I think our state officer team for the last few years has had more females than males, and like our local, you know, Ithaca, same thing. And I don't have like an explanation of why that is, because I mean, obviously it's not like there's anything that favors, you know, the women over the men to be leaders, but it is awesome to see that they have that opportunity to do that. And it is a great thing.
Your chapter, the last few years, you've really accomplished a lot. You've had some kind of unprecedented things happen, haven't you?
Yeah, we did. We really, when we got rolling, when I came over to be the FFA advisor, we had a great group of seniors that year too, or juniors and seniors that really wanted to do a lot in FFA. So that helps a lot when you have those kids and really started bringing kids into FFA. And one of the things that we really set out to do was to really encourage kids to do the contest. So if you're going to be part of FFA, we wanted you to choose a contest to do where you could learn something new. And so it wasn't necessarily like, we're just going to sign you up and you're going to go. You actually have to practice and learn something about that. And I just remember one of the teams that I think is the most interesting is I had this group of four boys that had zero experience with poultry. Like, they weren't even farm kids, and they became the poultry team. And so they learned how to judge eggs. They learned how to judge chickens. They learned how to know what the different parts of, you know, the chicken is. And so it was just great that they learned. And those are all good real life experiences, like when you go to the grocery store to know what kind of meat you're buying. So we really should, you know, push that to get those kids to try something new, to learn something new. But then also we started doing a lot more of the award applications, and we hadn't had an American degree since 1958. John Lewis, which many people in the area probably know, he was our last American degree. And so the American degree is one that less than 1% of all FFA members in the United States get. So it's a pretty prestigious award, pretty lengthy application, and it basically covers everything that you've done through your FFA career. And they have certain guidelines of things that you've had to accomplish as far as like hours of education, time or money invested in your project, different things like that, community service, leadership, all these different things. So last year, my oldest daughter, Chelina, was our first American degree recipient since 1958. And again, because women were not allowed to be in FFA before, you know, at that time, she was the first woman in Ithaca to get her American degree. And now this year, Josie Lau is our second one. So very, very proud of that. Proud of those girls. They worked super, super hard, and just proud that they went through and did all that work for that. And then, of course, proficiency awards. Every year we come back and take back the applications and the comments from the judges and try to improve for the next year.
We'll come back as we talk about FFA.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henry.
News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The average Wisconsin farm probably doesn't think much about artificial intelligence impacting their farming operation, but if you're a cattle producer, it already has. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says last week there was an information breach that hit social media, a false report about screwworm in the United States that turned into a downturn immediately for cattle prices.
Actually, last week on Tuesday, we had a false article get posted on the internet and came out through the socials that screwworm was found in cattle in Missouri. And they just dropped the market that day just with that concern what would happen to consumer demand, things of that nature. It took about an hour, and then the USDA came out and said, this isn't our report, this is not true. And the media outlets who had it on their website pulled it because it was just a perfect copy of what a USDA press release would look like.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says with the advent of even more AI-generated information, he's worried that trying to understand or vet what is accurate information versus inaccurate information is going to become a big challenge for trading firms. Markets in overnight electronic trade, not looking too bad so far. Numbers are next.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese dropped 3 to 184. 40-pound block cheese down a penny and three quarters, 193 and three quarters, while butter dropped a penny to 250 a pound. This morning, the July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is down 17, 1905 a hundredweight. July corn's up 2, December new crop up 2 right now at 441. July soybeans up a penny, November new crop up a penny, currently at 1022. July wheat's unchanged at 536 a bushel. Now, it's just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand. Rolling into a Wednesday trade session, I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Canadian wildfire smoke is going to hang around again this morning. We may even catch a few sprinkles this morning, but the smoke should get out of here this afternoon. Sky will clear out, high in the mid to upper 70s today. Tonight, clear, low 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, will join us. Also, film credits in Wisconsin and making movies here. Nathan Deming is our guest. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Scotty Summer Text to Win contest is underway, and this hour's keyword is grill for a pair of Brewers tickets. If you'd like to be in the running for a pair of Brewers tickets and the grand prize drawings, which are some lovely stays in the Wisconsin Dells area and or county, then use that Civic Media app and send us the keyword grill before the end of this hour. As I was slurping yet again during the commercial break through my coffee cup, it occurred to me that I never see young Parker Olson here. Imbibing in coffee, but it also occurs to me that he works at an actual radio station, unlike the Lake Wasota studios here next to my kitchen coffee maker. And they probably have rules against, you know, beverages and fluids near a $1 million audio board. Or are you not a coffee drinker during the course of the show?
I am not a coffee drinker. I don't really do coffee at all. So
what do you do? What do you do in the morning?
I wake up, I take a shower.
No, I thought you were going to say like Mountain Dew or something else that your morning beverage.
Oh, no. I got my water bottle here.
A water bottle?
Yeah.
That's so ridiculously healthy.
Stay hydrated, man. We're going to start doing hydration checks during breaks, Pat.
Wow. That is so healthy. I'm so shocked.
That's right.
Anyway.
Hey.
Well, not you personally, a man of your age. Young
okay,
men,
fair.
It's look, I'm the guy who would, you know, when I first started college and saw all the young men were drinking Mountain Dew, and so I started drinking Mountain Dew, and in my dorm room there was a shelf, you know, above the bunks or above the beds.
Sure.
And I'd put each empty can there, and there had to be a couple hundred cans that were all stacked up, you know, like a wall. Basically, I was building that big, beautiful wall.
Sure.
But out of Mountain Dew cans. And eventually took them all to what was called back at the time the Golden Goat, and you'd feed all these cans in and you'd get money back, and it was kind of depressing. But anyway, it was Mountain Dew. Then it was Diet Pepsi when I met Sherry, because she was a Diet Pepsi drinker.
Sure.
Then while I was in the legislature, we were studying taxes and who pays taxes and who doesn't, and realized that Coca-Cola pays its share of Wisconsin corporate income taxes. Pepsi didn't. So I was like, well, I'm done with Pepsi. So then we were Diet Coke drinkers for the longest time. By the way, since that time, Republicans have basically gotten rid of the corporate income tax. So, I mean, you have to pay everything now instead of, you know, multi-billion dollar corporations paying anything for the privilege of doing business in Wisconsin. Anyway, so there we were, Diet Coke drinkers for the longest time until we were like 45 years old or so. And this was during our 3-year stint, you know, living in the Caribbean, and on an island, everything is way more expensive. Groceries, especially soda. And that's when we were like, maybe we should be grownups now and have this coffee thing. And it turns out we actually like it. It wasn't until we were in our late 40s that we were coffee drinkers. So long as we can put enough, you know, flavored creamers in there, as long as it doesn't taste like, you know,
coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah. As long as you can make it taste as unrecognizable as possible, the coffee.
Yes.
Then, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that and, you know, whatever else Todd Alba puts in that cup that he's enjoying, as we call him up now a little bit early across the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd, affectionately known by Tony on YouTube as the Todd Father.
Todd Father. So, I like it.
Todd Father, welcome. And what about you? Well, you have talked about, and by the way, say good morning, because I'm not sure if you're muted or not. Are you there? No, I'm not hearing you at all. So I'm going to, not hearing a peep out of you. You are as quiet as it gets. So you work on that, because I'm still not hearing a word out of you. So you just keep prattling on while you look at your settings. Todd is actually.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, there
I know.
He,
there
yeah,
he is.
Yep.
Todd has actually worked in the coffee industry. He's worked with big coffee, as it might be.
Well, yeah, I guess for one.
But
my first job in coffee was Starbucks. Out of default, I needed a job, and they were hiring. They actually had a pretty good training program, to be honest. But then I learned about all the nuances of coffee and the fact that coffee, like wine, has about 160 different profile flavors. If you have really good coffee, you can kind of be nuanced. I don't have the palate of a Q-grade cupper, as they say. But I have been able to get like a strawberry or brown sugar or something like that. But most people don't know this because most coffee is low-grade quality. And they over roast it or burn it to cover up the bad flavors of coffee, the low grade quality stuff. And then people say, oh, coffee is just bitter and burnt. That's because most of it is. So here's the quick secret. Don't buy coffee that's like all dark and shiny and it says it's going to raise your hair and, you know, light you up, because that's just all marketing. And usually I'm very susceptible to marketing, but in coffee, I have learned.
I'm going to start calling you Liz Rosenberg because we're doing coffee talk, just like the Saturday Night Live skit from Mike Myers. On, welcome to Coffee Talk. This is amazing.
I'm filling in for Paul Baldwin. He's got a Chicago. He's in Palm Beach resting comfortably. Thank you very much.
This was literally just a little throwaway thing before I got into the main topic here. But now I realize I have so much to learn from you. You're my new coffee Sherpa.
Well, thank you. I had the honor of sharing a studio on Friday when we were filling in for you with Parker, and he is remarkably awake and up and honest for only drinking water. And I heard earlier, yes, he is remarkably healthy. I wish I could be like that.
I know. Tony saying on YouTube, wait, water? How do you do that? You know, I think he's much more of a Red Bull and vodka guy myself. I could be wrong, but it works. So. There's our coffee talk for today. Hey, this is when we would normally do our homeroom segment where we talk about education in Wisconsin. And I asked Todd to come on a bit early, and there was one education matter that I wanted to get his thoughts on. Now, we just had State Representative Christian Phelps from Eau Claire on the program. Was it last week or the week before? Talking about being on the Assembly Education Committee. Since that time, he has introduced a bill about voucher schools and the enrollment caps, because right now there is an enrollment cap so that, you know, only so much state money can go to school vouchers. But what a lot of folks don't know, and we've mentioned it in passing a couple of times in this segment, but we haven't really focused on it, is that those caps are set to go away. Republicans have set it up that these caps will go away and there would be no limit on taxpayer dollars that would move away from other services into voucher schools. And so Representative Christian Phelps has introduced a bill to maintain the existing enrollment caps on the voucher program. The bill was introduced along with Representatives Deb Andraka of Whitefish Bay, Senator Kelda Royce of Madison, and Chris Larson of Milwaukee. Senator Larson will join us next Monday, by the way. And Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein will join us next Thursday as we start booking guests for next week's show. But Todd, I do think that this is something that folks really underappreciated, was the fiscal ticking time bomb that Republicans had left in the education budget for our state.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm glad the folks that you listed are putting forth legislation to try to address it. Hopefully, maybe some Republicans will listen to this, although I'm kind of doubtful of my former party, because I know what their agenda is. But I really hope that people listening to your show and others really look at this and understand it, because as you said, if there's no caps, then you start getting the real outside interests, the national interests, who really do have, in my opinion, a war, an attack on public schools. And unfortunately, it has gotten even worse in the 10, 11 years since I worked in the building, as they say, in the Capitol. And that is, these national interests are now being merged with you know, Christian socialists or Christian social ideas.
Nationalists,
folks,
yeah.
Nationalists, yep. Thank you. And so they really feel that religious doctrine should be taught in schools. And I just don't think that's the way the country was set up. I don't think that's healthy. Look, If the local Lutheran church or the local Catholic church wants to have their own school, a parochial school, that's great. I got nothing against that. I have a lot of friends that went to Catholic parochial school, K through eight. But to have these huge, basically to suggest that a high school the size of one of Eau Claire's public high schools would suddenly become under this, and the enrollment could go way up, and then you have your local school board really doesn't have much, if any, control over what is taught there. Suddenly now you have kids being taught religious doctrine that might not believe in that at all. So I think Representative Phelps is right. I think he's being fair in that he's not saying we're going to do away with these schools. He's just saying, hey, there's a cap. Let's keep it there. I think that's a good balance between public and private.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, from a fiscal responsibility standpoint, that you are now seeing in some states where Republicans are saying, ooh, maybe this thing's growing a little too much because it's pulling money away from, you know, roads and healthcare and everything else out there. Now, look, there are others who are happy to do that. They want to see an end to public education overall. But the fiscal irresponsibility of it, to me, really seems to stand out because of what we're seeing in Washington, D.C. right now with a Trump budget bill that would blow another $3 trillion hole in the deficit. Essentially, between that at the federal level and even considering getting rid of enrollment caps at the state level, I feel like it gives up the game that your former party, which people did see as fiscally responsible once upon a time, is anything but these days.
Yeah, and I think I heard you talking to somebody yesterday about this. Or no, I guess I can't remember. More coffee, Todd. Somebody on our network was talking yesterday. It was Jane saying, I can't believe I'm finding myself agreeing with Rand Paul, of all yes. people, more often. And, you know, you do have a couple of folks like Rand Paul, maybe not all for the right reasons, but they bring up this point, exactly what you said, that, look, there's nothing conservative, traditionally conservative politically, about some of these things in this reconciliation bill. Amongst them, of course, as you said, education. And you say it, you do such a great job on this show highlighting public education. I think this is just another call for everyone listening this morning. If you care about your local public school, call your state representative, call your state senator. And you know this, Pat, as a former legislator, I'm keenly aware as a former legislative flack. You know, when you get a call from half a state away from outside your district, if you're not busy, you'll probably take the call and be polite about it. But that call's not going to your boss. That your boss isn't going to really care about that call. It's the people that they represent. So call your local, whoever your state representative is, whoever your state senator, say, look, I care about public schools. I'm on board with this bill being authored by Representative Phelps. And I think we should keep a balance. And that does matter.
It does matter. And it really is just a sense of calling up your legislator and saying to the staff person, and saying it very nicely, that you're sick of these referendums, and that you now understand the reason that there's endless referendums is that Republican legislators have been underfunding schools compared to the rate of inflation for 16 years. So what are you doing lifting the caps and sending even more money to private religious schools when you're underfunding the public schools and forcing endless referendums? It's that concise. It's that easy to understand. If you're sick of the referendums, then you have to understand the underfunding and how it would be made much worse if even more money is shifted to voucher schools. And that's why Representative Phelps has introduced this bill. And I'm sure we will be talking about that with him in the near future, along with Senator Larson, like I said, who's going to be joining us next Monday. Hey, a quick reminder here that you can follow what my team is doing over at Up North News. Just head to upnorthnewswi.com. You can follow us on our newsletters, through social media, through our website, and, of course, mornings right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlaw.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we're just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
In the studio with us today, Josie Lau, Maggie Kirshner, and Annabeth Sprecher, and their advisor, Melissa Sprecher. Melissa, it's just amazing how much work, how many hours went into some of these projects.
Yeah, absolutely. And like the girls had said before, when you get it all on paper and you look back, it's like, man, like we all knew they did a lot. And I see it from the outside because I'm watching them do it all. But there's so many things that they did that I didn't even know that they did, too. So like you said, you put it down on paper and you're like, they do a lot. And these kids aren't, that's not all they do either. That's the even more amazing part of it is amongst doing all of that, they're still doing sports. You know, Joey's is away at college and still able to do all this. You know, they have jobs, you know, they're involved in so many other organizations too, but yet they're still putting the hours in these projects. And I think Annabeth kind of touched on this a little bit, the late nights, because sometimes you don't get home till 8 o'clock at night and you still have to walk pigs and rinse them. And that's, you know, could be 2 hours, or you still have steers that need to get rinsed out and blown out and, you know, and taken care of. And everything needs to be fed. We go to pig shows on the weekends and some, you know, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning and we're out the door by 3:30, do chores before we leave. And we get home at night, you know, 9, 10 o'clock, and we still have to do chores. And in fact, one night we came home and we had baby pigs born, so we had to deal with that too. And so there's, these kids aren't just, you know, getting up at 6:30 and jumping in the shower and going to school and then coming home and, you know, relaxing back. They're involved. And so you know, I'm very, very proud of all the work that they've done, but then also the work they did to show what they've done is pretty awesome.
Well, you've done a great job as an advisor. During the break, we were talking about you never stop learning about these things either, do you?
Yes, that's correct. So when I was in FFA, our advisor didn't have us do the proficiencies and things like that. So I had a very limited access to what I did in FFA just because I wasn't exposed to it. So when I became FFA advisor, I learned a lot about what FFA has to offer, which has been awesome. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning new things that they have to offer and ways to get kids involved in different ways. And like I was saying with these proficiency applications, the first ones we filled out, you know, they were pretty basic because we didn't quite know what we were doing yet. So I've been learning and I try to go, you know, talk to other advisors and ask them, like, what do you do here? And what do you advise here? And, you know, as far as doing all the non-current inventory and the current inventory, and how do you get the numbers to all work and add up and make sense? And where do you put it into the program so when it comes out in the application, it looks right? And so, yeah, as the kids are doing the proficiency awards, I'm printing them off and, you know, going through and making, you know, like telling them like, oh, you need to change this or add to this, or this doesn't sound quite right. And so they each have a folder and I make notes and then I send them out. And like Josie was just saying, when she's away at college, so I'd send her a Snapchat and I'd be like, okay, you need to change this. And so every day she knew when she saw my name, oh, doing something on the proficiency award today. So always learning. And I mean, I think that's part of life though, right? Isn't that the great part of life, is learning something new every day and then being able to share that with other people?
Yeah, very much so. You talk about, is there a program that is set up for this? I mean, I envision when you're talking about a 30-page essay, you're writing it out on a piece of paper, but that's not the case, is it?
No, that's a good idea, though. Maybe I shouldn't have them start out that way.
Yeah.
Josie's face right now. Yeah, so there's a program that the National FFA uses. It's called the AET, and basically you can go in there and track what you're doing, so you can enter in. And I tell the kids, every time that you purchase something, go in and enter it in right away so you aren't trying to do it at the end of the year. Like, so you don't, you know, have to have like your shoebox of receipts to enter. But you're actually kind of doing as you go, and go in and enter all, like every time you do a contest, go in and enter those things. Every time that we have a meeting, those kinds of things, enter that in. But then when it comes to the essay part of the application, like we talked about, like, how did you get started? What are your challenges? What are your goals? Those are all in the application part. So yeah, they type those in, and then you know, we go back and we, you know, make some edits to it, like whether it be, you know, make this sound better, or you need to spell these words out better, or make this make more sense, because to you it makes sense, but to a person judging, maybe it doesn't. So just teaching those skills as well. I mean, those are important skills, communication skills, because when you're in a job and something might make sense to you because in your head it sounds right, but when you to somebody else, that direction maybe doesn't make sense. So you're trying to teach them the clarification and, you know, good communication skills as well.
How did the poultry project go at Ithaca this year?
Oh, it went great. So that was super fun. We had applied for and got a grant through CompHere to have, I got an incubator and some brooders. And so we hatched 70 eggs and we invited the elementary school to be part of it. And so they would come down and check the incubator. Of course, not much is happening in the incubator because the eggs are just kind of rotating. But every day that they come down, we talk through them with what's going on in the egg today and what's happening. And then we had a poster where they could see a visual of what every day looked like. And then the babies hatched. So that was exciting. It was on a Monday. They actually were supposed to start hatching Monday morning. I went in on Sunday afternoon just to kind of check on them, and I could hear a couple little peeps going on, so I knew that we were already in hatching. And so, of course, as soon as I put an email out to the elementary teachers and said, hey, we have baby chicks, and, you know, we had kids down there. So I put the incubator actually out into the hallway, and it was amazing how many people just would stop by and look in to see, you know, they'd hear the chirping as they go by, and then we'd pull out the baby chicks, and we had them in the brooders, and then every day we'd bring the chickens out, the baby chicks out, and the, you know, talk to the kids about, you know, the different breeds and how they start out and how do you know if they're a, you know, a hen or a rooster. And yeah, it was a great experience. A lot of kids purchased baby chicks and took them home. And so yeah, it was an overall great experience. We're excited to do it again next year. And I think we're kind of looking at maybe trying to maybe hatch in some turkeys, maybe some other poultry as well. But that was our first try at it.
Today is National Egg Day, by the way.
Oh, perfect. June, so yes. Nice. Which those are worth gold these days as
they
well.
They sure are. Josie, how long are you home for this summer then?
So I'm here for the summer, and then I'll probably head back around middle of August. So we start end of August for school, but I might head back and do, like, we have some practices and stuff. So I'll be back there and busy.
Do you travel with your horses back and forth?
Yep. So I haul our truck and trailer and then two horses. So It's a lot of driving, but I like driving, so it's fun.
Yeah, the horses are used to it by now, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What are their names, by the way?
So I have Dash and then Rainy.
Dash and Rainy. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck in the next rodeo season. Do you do some in the fall then as well?
Yep. So we have a season in the fall, and then we take a break in the middle of winter so they don't make us rodeo through the snow. And then we start back up in March. So it's still kind of cold in March, but it's all of our rodeos in the spring are indoors. So it's nice.
What event is your event that you contribute to the team, or are you kind of in all of them?
So I'm in goats, barrels, and breakaway, but I would say my best event right now is goat tying.
Okay. Well, good luck with that in the new season.
Thank you.
Melissa Sprecher joining us, Ithaca FFA advisor, along with Josie Lau, Maggie Kirshner, and Annabeth Sprecher.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henry.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's latest tariffs went into effect at midnight.
The president did sign this proclamation that has now doubled tariffs on steel and aluminum imports, raising them from 25 to 50%. Our European allies saying that they are ready to respond with countermeasures. And it also comes as the administration is sending a reminder to our trading partners to send their best offers by today. Only one trade deal has been announced so far.
That's ABC Senior Washington Correspondent Rachel Scott. Big box retailers like Target, Walmart, and Costco have all said their prices will be going up because of the tariffs. Elon Musk strongly criticizing the budget bill President Trump is pushing, Musk calling it an abomination because of how much it will add to the federal deficit. The Pentagon planning to take the name of gay rights icon and Navy vet Harvey Milk off of a Navy ship. Coco Gauff overcoming 10 double faults to defeat Madison Keys at the French Open. This is